from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. You are still listening?
Here is the news, first the headlines. Presiden Prabowo inaugurates Silaturahim Tunnel in Jakarta. GCI President Kevin Kumar talks about the concept of leadership. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto inaugurated the Silaturahim Tunnel in Jakarta on Thursday, which connects the Istiqlal Mosque with the Cathedral Church. As quoted by Antara in his remarks, President Prabowo admitted that he was very happy to attend this inauguration because this tunnel is considered a symbol of interreligious harmony. According to President Prabowo, the Indonesian nation has a very unique and proud characteristic, which is to remain in harmony in the midst of full of differences.
Suatu bangsa yang berbeda, agama berbeda, suku berbeda, kelompok etnis berbeda, berbeda.
A nation with different religions, different tribes, different ethnic groups, different races, different regional languages, different customs, but can be united, can get along well because they have the same ideals, namely achieving a future that can bring happiness to all Indonesian people.
Yaitu meraih suatu masa depan yang bisa memberi kebahagiaan untuk seluruh rakyat Indonesia.
Moreover, President Prabowo conveyed the differences should not be a divider and a source of division of the Indonesian nation, but rather a wealth and provide energy for Indonesia. According to President Prabowo, in the days of the independence struggle, all groups paid their share for the country with blood, sweat, and tears. The Istiqlal Cathedral Silaturahim Tunnel is 28.3 meters long, 3 meters high, and 4.1 meters wide, and is designed to facilitate visitors from the Istiqlal Mosque and Cathedral Church. The construction of this tunnel was actually completed on September 20, 2021, but access for the public had not been opened because there was additional work that needed to be completed. Leadership is not just a job, but it becomes a role model. This was conveyed by Kevin Kumar Kumar Alef, President and CEO of Junior Chambers International GCI, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Thursday. He believes that the philosophy of leadership must start from clarity of heart, grow into a noble character, then bear fruit in harmony and world peace. Kevin also emphasized that this principle is the foundation of GCI in producing world-quality leaders.
Leadership is not just you have to go and work for the country or work for the community. It is also leadership starts at home, starts with from you. You have to be an example for yourself. You have to be a role model for your kids, for your family. Leadership starts in your family, and then I always say that what one of our president of India said, that you know, when there is righteousness in the heart, there is beauty in the character. When there is beauty in the character, there is harmony at home. When there is harmony at home, there is order in the nation.
Okay.
When there is order in the nation, then there is peace in the world.
Moreover, as quoted by the page GCI .cc Junior Chambers International was first founded in 1915 in St. Louis area by Henry Jason Beer Jr. as a youth organization oriented towards overcoming various challenges in society. Kafin Kumaralev is trusted to lead the organization that operates in 127 countries since November 2023. Minister of Social Affairs Saifullah Yusuf met representative of the World Bank to discuss collaboration strategies that can be carried out between the two through the Poverty Alleviation Program of the Ministry of Social Affairs. As reported by the Ministry of Social Affairs press release from Jakarta on Thursday, Minister Saifullah invited the World Bank to be involved in the work of the Ministry of Social Affairs by increasing the capacity of social assistance and empowering beneficiary families. Meanwhile, World Bank Country Director for Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Caroline Turk, appreciated the Ministry of Social for the various efforts that have been taken. One of them that was appreciated is the Ministry of Social Affairs' willingness to form a single data on poverty alleviation. Caroline also affirmed the importance of an integrated data system to ensure the accuracy of assistance. The meeting also discussed the lifelong social protection scheme pursued by the Ministry of Social of Indonesia, from babies in the womb to the elderly. Acting Governor of East Java Adi Karyono and Argentine Ambassador to Indonesia Gustavo Ricardo Copa discussed cooperation opportunities in several sectors when they met in Surabaya, East Java on Thursday. As reported by Antara, Adi appreciates Argentina for choosing East Java as an investment location. He claims that so far, cooperation between Argentina and East Java, such as in trade, investment, education, culture and tourism, has shown a positive trend. Adi also explained the opportunities for cooperation that have been discussed at the meeting will be finalized at the meeting in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in June or July 2025, with the main mission of developing exports and imports. According to Adi, the considerable cooperation opportunities between Indonesia and Argentina will balance the imports and export of the two countries. Let's move it on to the international news, where a missing U.S. man has been found in Syria, where he says he was kept in prison for months after entering the country as a pilgrim. As quoted by CNN.com on Thursday, Travis Timmerman spoke to several outlets after locals saw him walking barefoot in the street of southern Damascus. Thousands of people have been released from prison across Syria this week after rebels toppled the country's former president Bashar al-Assad. Speaking to CBS News, Timmerman said he had been detained in Syrian prison for several months after entering the country without permission, having crossed its border with Lebanon. NATO chief Mark Rutte warned the U.S.-led transatlantic alliance on Thursday that it was not ready for the threats it would face from Russia in the coming years and called for a shift to a wartime mindset with much higher defense spending. As quoted by CNA.com, Rutte conveyed future spending would have to be much higher than the current alliance target of 2% of national wealth as measured by gross domestic products. Singapore on Wednesday called for greater clarity on international legal frameworks regarding climate action. As quoted by CNA.com, at a public hearing in The Hague, held by the International Court of Justice, ICJ, Singapore's Ambassador for International Law, Rina Lee, highlighted the country's vulnerabilities and called for a unified global response to climate change. While Singapore has taken steps to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, Ms. Lee said, the country's size and lack of attributes like strong winds, near-surface geothermal resources, and major river system meant that it is at a disadvantage regarding alternative energy. Let's move it on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on U.S. government asked to lift sanctions on Syria. Members of the U.S. House of Representatives have asked President Joe Biden to gradually lift sanctions on Syria after the fall of President Bashar al-Assad regime. U.S. House members Joe Wilson and Brandon Boyle said on Wednesday that the U.S. should change its approach to sanctions on Syria and apply exceptions to those related to reconstruction, economic development, and foreign investment. In June 2020, the CESAR Act containing U.S. sanctions on Syria was enacted. The impact was very bad for the Syrian economy, especially the construction, financial, and energy sectors, and complicated reconstruction efforts. According to Wilson and Boyle, lifting sanctions will build a positive image of the U.S. in Syria. In addition, it will help get rid of terrorist groups by facilitating economic and financial access for Syrian people. They considered the fall of the Assad regime would provide an opportunity to help stabilize, reconstruct, and restore humanity in the country. Besides getting international investment and reintegration in Syria, as well as protect U.S. security interests. This approach, according to the two members of the House, must be carried out carefully and gradually so that the Assad regime and terrorist groups cannot access assets and the international financial system. In addition, this step can also encourage the transitional government in Syria to comply with international norms. Ali Biljik, professor of international relations and Middle East politics at Loughborough University, England, told the BBC last Wednesday that for the U.S., the fall of the Assad regime was a positive sign after continuously trying to replace the Syrian government directly or indirectly since 2011. However, U.S. President Joe Biden last Sunday called the situation in Syria a time full of risk and uncertainty for the region. The day before, U.S. President-elect Donald Trump even called the series of events in Syria were not a U.S. fight and should have nothing to do with any conflicts involving Syria. Now the Assad regime has fallen. Given U.S. interest in the region, it is time for Washington to help maintain the stability and reconstruction of Syria. If not, there could be other players entering. Washington has about 900 troops stationed in the oil drilling area in northern eastern Syria controlled by the Kurds. The U.S. also has a military base in the southeastern Syria. Hopefully, the process of government transition, restoration of stability, and reconstructions in Syria will run smoothly so that the Syrian people can live in peace. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with December 13, 1945, when the massacre in Tebing Tinggi occurred. After the proclamation of Indonesian independence in August 1945, Indonesian youth in Tebing Tinggi, North Sumatra, seized weapons from Japanese occupation soldiers. At that time, they were in dire need of weapons to defend the independence, especially from the Dutch, supported by the Allied forces, who wanted to regain their former colony. Tensions then arose, especially when negotiations between the Japanese and Indonesian sides in Tebing Tinggi did not produce results. On December 13, 1945, Japanese troops surrounded the city of Tebing Tinggi and massacred the people inside. Around 2,000 Tebing Tinggi residents and 600 Japanese soldiers were killed in this incident. Let's move on to December 13, 1957, when Juanda Declaration is established. The Juanda Declaration was a statement issued on December 13, 1957 by the then Indonesian Prime Minister Juanda Kartawijaya. The Juanda Declaration stated that the Indonesian seas include the surrounding seas between within the Indonesian archipelago and are not a free zone. Thus, the Indonesian archipelago and seas become one inseparable territory of Indonesia. The declaration was accepted and stipulated in the 3rd UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, UN Clause, in 1982. Since 2001, December 13 has been commemorated in Indonesia as Nusantara or Archipelago Day. I'll end today in history with December 13, 1982, when an earthquake rocks North Yemen. An earthquake measuring 6.2 in magnitude rocked North Yemen on December 13, 1982. The epicenter was near the city of Damar, about 70 kilometers from the capital Sana'a. The earthquake struck a few hundred kilometers from a plate boundary in a geologically complex region that includes active volcanoes and an undersea ridge. The 42nd quake flattened 11 villages and severely damaged 142 others. The quake killed 2,800 people, injured 1,500, and damaged buildings near the epicenter. The tremors were felt as far away as southern Yemen and Saudi Arabia.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Tepat hari ini, 17 Agustus 2019, sejarah penting akan mengalir di darah kita. Mari kita tunjukkan betapa indahnya negeri ini.
Kita terlahir di tanah terindah, berlari mengejar matahari ke arah yang sama. Dan jika kau mempertanyakan
Sumpah Pemuda. Kami, putra dan putri Indonesia, mengaku bertumpah darah yang satu, tanah air Indonesia. Kami, putra dan putri Indonesia, mengaku berbangsa yang satu, bangsa Indonesia. Kami, putra dan putri Indonesia, mengaku berbahasa yang satu, bahasa Indonesia.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
One of many challenges in attracting foreign investment to Indonesia is insufficient of research and development. Indonesia's lack of research and development is about the manpower capacity that later affected technology quality and quantity, especially necessary for downstreaming. This was stated by Deputy for Investment Promotion at the Investment and Downstreaming Ministry, Nurul Ikhwan, in a journalist workshop held by Foreign Policy Community of Indonesia, FPCI, with Korea Foundation in Jakarta, escorted by Antar on Wednesday. According to Ikhwan, calling Indonesia abundant of natural resources is not enough. Indonesia must also see its manpower to process those resources through downstreaming. For instance, Indonesia is the world's fourth top seaweed producer, even the main one for tropical seaweed. But Indonesia is only able to produce the lowest level of carrageenan or seaweed extract. This is because Indonesia does not have post-harvest tag for seaweed. According to Ikhwan, if Indonesia has the tech and capacity to process it, Indonesia can supply the seaweed downstream product useful for pharmaceutical and cosmetics. Therefore, according to Ikhwan, the government of President Prabowo Subianto, with a target of achieving economic growth of 8%, will focus on increasing research and development. The method is to utilize research that is widely carried out by academics at universities. The research results then needs to be further developed and adjusted to the needs of the industry. Later, small industries can utilize the knowledge and technology produced to participate in the downstreaming process of various superior commodities. Efforts with a long-term vision are believed to be able to attract more foreign direct investment. Take, for example, South Korea, which is always listed in the top 10 countries with the largest investment realization in Indonesia from 2019 to 2024.
I was on my own, speaking to the wall, on a 16th floor, feeling so alone. The rain starts to fall, then I wrote a song. The day's getting older, but I still have hope about a life that asks for more. It's hard for sure, I give my best and all. Life is like a war. One thing that I know, I don't wanna jump too far. So I keep flying up and high, keeping my dreams up in the sky. Nobody's getting me to the ground, but if I do, then I gotta stand up, up to the sky, up, up to the sky. As long as I have hope about a life that asks for more. It's hard for sure, I give my best in all. Oh, oh, life is like a war. One thing that I know, I don't wanna jump and fall over and over again. So I keep flying up and high, dreams up in the sky. Nobody's getting me to the ground, but if I do, then I'm gonna stand up, up to the sky, up, up to the sky.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
If you visit Madura East Java, you must try a variety of Madura's culinary specialties made from duck. One of them has been recognized by the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia as an intangible cultural heritage. The culinary comes from Sampang Regency, Madura, East Java, namely Bebek Songkem. songkam is not fried, but steamed. To make bebek songkam, young ducks aged 45 to 50 days are usually used. Before cooking, the duck is first seasoned with spices consisting of garlic, shallots, chilies, and salt that have been mashed. After that, the duck is steamed in a large size pot. Uniquely, songkam duck is steamed without using water. The bottom of the pot, which is usually filled with water, is replaced with pieces of banana fronds. The duck is stacked on top of the banana fronds and steam over low heat for approximately 3 hours. After cooking, the duck fat sticks to the banana fronds. This is why songkam duck is low in cholesterol. When served, the duck meat appears yellowish in color. When eaten, the meat is so tender and delicious. The savory and spicy flavors are so pronounced. The word songkam comes from the Javanese language sungkam, which means giving respect to elders. In the old days, songkam duck was cooked as a gift for the elders. The duck was cooked with its neck and head bent like a person bowing. Now, songkam duck can be enjoyed at any time. There are many restaurants in Bangkalan that serve songkam duck. The price is relatively cheap. One serving of songkam duck with rice costs about 25,000 rupiah to 30,000 rupiah.
Lepaskanmu, oh percayalah sayang, hatiku ini hanya untukmu. Berjalanlah bersamaku, kita nikmati indahnya cinta. Sayangku, cintaku, ku beruntung jadi pemilik hatimu. Ku sayang kamu, ku cinta kamu. Ku berjanji tak akan permainkanmu. Tetap bersamaku, sayang, sampai tua nanti. Percayalah sayang, hatiku ini hanya untukmu. Berjalanlah bersamaku, kita nikmati indahnya cinta. Sayangku, cintaku, ku beruntung jadi
kayak gini sampai tua nanti.
Gak bisa, karena bakal lebih dari itu.
Sayangku, cintaku, ku beruntung jadi
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, today's Miscellany informs you about Reog Ponorogo, Indonesian performing art that was officially included in the UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage List in the category In Need of Urgent Safeguarding, which took place at the 19th session of the Intergovernmental Committee for the Safeguarding of the Intangible Cultural Heritage in Asunción, Paraguay on December 3, 2024. Indonesian Ambassador, Permanent Delegate to UNESCO, Muhammad Umar, expressed his gratitude and appreciation to UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage Committee and all parties who have contributed to the process of recognizing Reog Ponorogo as a UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage. Reog Ponorogo is a performance art that combines dance, music, and theater arts in one grand stage. The main icon of the show is Barongan Singo Barong, a large mass in the shape of a lion's head adorned with peacock feathers. This mass is not only a visual attraction, but also reflects strength, courage, and leadership. Reog performances are usually accompanied by gamelan traditional music and involve various characters, such as warok, jatil, and singo barong mass bearers. Each element has a story and philosophical meaning, especially related to the values of courage, loyalty, and togetherness that have been passed down from generation to generation. Listener, Indonesian Minister of Culture Fadli Zon emphasized the inscription of Reog Ponorogo as intangible cultural heritage in need of urgent safeguarding by UNESCO is an important moment for Indonesia in the preservation of traditional cultural arts that are deeply rooted in local values and the spirit of gotong royong or mutual cooperation. With this designation, Reog Ponorogo officially becomes the 14th intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia to be inscribed into UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage List. Well, listener, that's today's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Two. I need you to tell the truth.
If somebody
like it is. I came over with my clique. Don't try to change it now. See, you got a bounce when 2 seconds ago said you just got in the house. It's hard to believe that you are at home by yourself when I just heard the voice, heard the voice of someone else. Just this question, why do you feel you got a lot getting caught up in your game when you cannot say my name?
I didn't say that I was doing things.
Something's going down, that's the way it seems.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back to Music Corner, which showcases the beauty of music from across the archipelago. This time, I will play a regional pop song from Bali called Sesapi Putih. This song was written by Pandey Sudana and became popular in the 90s thanks to Widi Widiana's stunning performance. With its lifting strains and Balinese musical accompaniment, Sesapi Putih is often sung at various jangger performances, both in schools and in banjars on the island of gods. The lyrics of Sesapi Putih tell the story of a white swallow flying over a blue lotus flower, symbolizing the hope that the flower will remain fragrant and not wither. In depth, this song contains a figurative message about the role of parents who project young women from falling into bad relationships. Sesapi Putih is still often covered, including by the daughter of this songwriter Ayu Pandey, who collaborated with Widi Widiana to give a new color to the song. Without further ado, let's listen together to the beautiful strains of the song Sesapi Putih, sung by Widi Widiana and Ayu Pandey. Enjoy!
Setan tidak ragan beli pacangan sapan dugas beli ketemu sarang di ring taman sari
sesapi
dong tinggalin jalan purnama sampun endang minap girang nyaksian pertemuan diraga. Kedipan sayang
terus nering taman sari kadirasa nganyu den manah tiang
terus nering taman sari tan si depacang belingang sampah. Taman sari entuh bina kesaksi tresnan beline kenanti tom tinggalin jadi bulan purnama sampun endak minap siang pertemuan iraga
biur ngelenco ya tamane ngerapat ke hulu
tergesar angin kenyir manis lan kedipan sayang taman sari tan si depacang belingang sampah dong tinggalin jadi bulan purnama sampun endak minap girang nyaksian pertemuan iraga. Kedipan sayang
terus nering taman sari kadirasa nganyu den manah tiang
terus nering taman sari tan si depacang belingang sampah.
Laut tak bertepi, gunung tak terdaki. saat itu kau hadir, berdiri menanti di sini, berharap pintuku terbuka. Kau ajarku, kau telah bukakan mata agar ku
so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.